Is it a fact that you have to get a guru in the same bath? Or in other words, can you, let's say, you're inclined to be a sakha, can your guru be
what
a...
What is the last part you're saying?
If you're inclined, you have inclination to be a sakha or, okay, or Krishna's friend,
yeah,
can your guru be in a different bath?
That's a very good question. This is a little technical subject, which I'm not sure I have the full command of the answer. And if others can contribute something to the answer, I would appreciate their contribution. The devotee is asking that if the guru, the Diksha guru, his particular sthirati, his eternally fixed, mood of loving and serving Krishna, one of the four rasas of Braj, because we're Gaudiyas, you're a Gaudiya, and we're speaking about Gaudiya gurus, so they pursue Vrindavan and the four different rasas, which are can be approached through Vaidhi Sadhana in a very indirect way, and through Raghunuga Bhakti directly. Sambandhanuga Raghunuga Bhakti includes Vatsalya, Sakya, and Dasya. Then the Kamanuga Raghunuga Bhakti, there's two types, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That's for Madhurya Rati, especially Gopi Bhav, specifically Gopi Bhav, but it can be in Parakya or Swakya and be a Gaudiya in a Madhurya Rati. As we see, an example of the Dandakaranya sages, specifically, when they saw Ram, they wanted to have Madhurya Rati, amorous, intimate relationship like husband-wife, with him as his consort. So they indicated that by their mentality, by their unspoken sankalpa, that we want this. And he communicated to them verbally or internally that that's not possible because I have ek patni brat. So Ram is a Madhurya Leela, but in Swakya Bhav, married to the Sita Devi. So then they had that blessing from Sri Ram, Bhagavan Sri Ram. And they did their tapa and their bhajan. And then they were born as kanyas in the Braj. And then they worship Katyayani. Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogin Yadishvari Nandagopa Sutam Devi Patim Me Kurute Namaha. Kurute Namaha. I respect you, Katyayani. Kuru Te Namaha. You please do for me Patim Me. The Nandagop, the Krishna, the Nandanandan, please you make him my husband. So they worshipped. So Kavi Karnapur and Ananda Vrindavan Champu and his commentary and explanation of this Leela, he's saying that some of the rishis and munis, they were in Madhurya Bhav in Parakya, and some were in Madhurya Bhav in Swakya. The general, this is of course our Gaudiya Tika, the general idea from the Sridhar Swami commentaries or earlier commentaries is that they were all in a unified sthirati of wanting to be Krishna's wives. But when Kavi Karnapur is explaining this very long chapter, Katyayani Brat, he says they were all chanting, it's interesting, it has many ramifications. All the Kanyas, virgin girls of Braj, they were worshipping Katyayani, a Mriga Shirsha month, right after Karti, that's the Krishna month. So you in the Krishna month, you do things to get Krishna. Mriga Shirsha Ham, Krishna is telling in Gita, Masaham, of all the months, Masa, I am Mriga Shirsha, November, December. And then Orjeshri Radharani is Kartik. And Stavamala Rupa Goswami says she's Kartiki Devi in two different places. And also in the Puranas, she's called Urjeshri. So it's a... the Kartik is a Shakti Brat. And the Mriga Shirsha is a Shaktiman Brat, worshipping the Purusha, Sri Krishna, and Mriga Shirsh, Katyayani Brat, and worshipping the Shakti of Radharani and Kartik, and also the Shakti of Durga, again, bipolar, whatever they call it, bilateral, whatever it is, in a this Shakti Durga Ma is worshipped in Kartik. There's also Navaratri in Kartik. She's worshipped for 9 days. So she's Prakriti, and then we worship for the whole month, Daivi Prakriti Radharani. We discussed some of this last night about this Chaitra Mas, which is the first month of the new year. Hindu New Year begins in Chaitra Ekam. 15 days ago. So we're 15 days into the new year of the Hindu calendar, Samvat Varsha 2075. Like we say, 19. But, you know, there's different ways they calculate. It's called Samvat Varsha for Hindus. So Kavikarnapur is saying there that when they were chanting the puja mantras, some were saying, Patim. Patim me kurute. The Sanskrit shloka is clear. If you take the Bhagavatam on face value, the Sanskrit clearly says, O Katyayani, O Shaktima, O Durga, on Yogamaya in this case, because it's only Yogamaya that can connect you with Bhagavan. If you worship Mahamaya, you get connected with Shiva and with the material energy and all the fruits of this world, which means you have to take birth. So they were saying, so very clever commentary, I like it very much. This is explained two places actually, in Kavi Karnapur's Ananda Vrindavan Champu, and also in Sarta Darshini by Vishnu Chakravartipad. I think, I know for sure, not think, Kavi Karnapur is the first one to bring out the idea because he was Lord Chaitanya's time, you know, 15th century Kavi Karnapur. He was contemporary. Everyone knows Lord Chaitanya, you know, sucked on his toe. His name was Puri Das. He got the name Karnapur. Kavi, he's a poet. Whatever he says is so poetical and sweet and sedantically correct and full of ras. Can you imagine how you would sing if you sucked on Lord Chaitanya's toe? Something extraordinary, no? all the Shakti of Radharani, Gandharvika Radharani, and all the Shakti of Krishna playing, Krishna's flute playing, and Radharani singing, coming out of the toe, and then, wow, you know, it's amazing. She sings like a flute. She sings like a veena. Radharani's a veena. Her singing, you know, mostly people, they tune their singing to the veena, and they sing as high as the veena can go or as low as the veena can go. The veena is compatible to the human voice. But some devatas and some higher beings, like such as Gandharvas, they can sing musical notes which the veena can't play. It's a very cool thing. So Radharani, she's also veena pani, because she plays veena, and so does Saraswati. Veena pani. Pani means hand. So somewhere, when they were chanting the mantra, Patim me kurutena, they said, we want him to be our husband. So these two types of Madhurya Ras are available in Braj Leela. Krishna has Parakya relationship, unmarried love with many of the gopis. He's not married, but they're married. Paramour love. And he also has married relationship. Because there's these two compartments. It's like you have a house, imagine, analogy. So one room of the house is Parakya, and Krishna's there with the flute and everything, but these are his wives. And they get married in Bandiravan, and Brahma's the officiator, and Ganesh, everybody comes. That's there, you know, Bandiravan, the forest. So they get married there. And the others are in Parakya Bhav, they're married to some other ones. So Kavi Karnapur revealed this insight, and then Vishwanath reverberated it later, 200 years later. He says, some were chanting the mantra, Patim, but they were thinking, Upapatim, Upapatim, Upapati. Because pati means my lawful wedded husband. And upa means additional or extra. So, oh Katyayani, please make Krishna our husband. Oh Katyayani, please make Krishna our illicit lover and let us get married to some other gopa. you know, Nandagopa Sutam Devi, Upapatim Kurute Namaha. So this is a great insight of Kavi Karnapur and Vishwanath. So this is the situation, because mantras, it depends on your sankalp and your manavishta and your performance and intonation. The same mantras can give opposite result. In sixth kanta, when Twasta, I get confused of the names, but some Brahmin, maybe Twasta or someone else, his son was killed by Indra. So he didn't like that. So he said, I have to do some yajna and puja, and I hire all these Brahmins, or he himself, I think, and we have to chant mantras and create a demon which will kill Indra. He will be the enemy of Indra, and he'll kill Indra. So now Indra is a devata. He's asura. He's asura, not an asura. He's asura, devata. They're all devatas, but there's asura devatas and asura. He's a devotee of Vishnu, some kind. He's not the demon party, so to speak. So then, but Saraswati, who sits on the tongue of the Brahmins, she made them goof. So when the Brahmins are chanting the mantra, they chanted the one syllable wrong, so it said, oh Agni, oh Swaha, whatever they're worshipping, Shiva, Agni, and Swaha, and all these things. And the big fire, you get, please give me, in other words, they created a human being, or some kind of being, living entity, was a rakshash and demon. So please, I'm doing this all as yajna, big yajnas, so many yajnas. Please give me a living entity, a rakshash, that will destroy Indra, because he killed my son indiscriminately. But they pronounced it wrong, so this big demon came out of the fire. Britrasura in the 10th canto. And compared, and you know, Indra was this big. Say Indra was this big. This is as tall as Indra was, and Britrasura was from here to here. Can you imagine? This big and this big. Who's going to win? Guy just goes, like the Indians do, you know. The guy's finished, blows off out of the universe, you know. So there he was, Britrasura. He came out of the fire. All these Brahmins are, my God, it says his hair was touching the sky and his fangs. You know, there's a big painting of him. He's like a really beautiful character. You can see in the sixth canto on the back cover during Prabhupada's time. Maybe there's even more fanciful paintings been done recently. I don't know. Different artists. That one's pretty good. Huge character. So there it was, a showdown, Ruchasura and Indra. And guess what? Indra killed him. So he was supposed to kill Indra. So these gopis are worshipping Kadyani. Please make Krishna our upapati. So therefore there was two types in the Dandakaranya sages. Some had parakya, some had swakya. And now we go to the Shrutis, personified Vedas. These are a group of rishis that live in the Mahavaikuntha, in the material world, where this Vishnu is lying. Which Vishnu? I guess it's Shiradakshay. Vishnu is lying on the ocean of Kheer, condensed milk, on Anatta Shesh, and he's supervising the universe in a global, let's say, galactic way from Mahavaikuntha. Then he's supervising locally because he has sensors. Everyone has a sensor, a microchip placed inside. Every living entity has a microchip inside. So the Big Daddy can keep track of the movements of everybody. And who is that microchip? It's called Paramatma, Shirodakshay Vishnu. So the big guy is there, and he just has a big computer screen. And he sits there in Mahavaikuntha. What is Das doing? What is Dasi doing? And he connects with the sensors. It's kind of modern type of explanation. So these Shrutis, they're the wake-up alarm, you know, the snooze alarm. We have a snooze alarm. So when Vishnu is enjoying his rest on the ocean there, his waterbed or whatever you want to call it, It's time to wake up. And all the sages, they're human type of sages, human form. They line up on the beach. Like sometimes the hippies, they go down to the beach and play at sunset and stuff, and sunrise. You know? If you live in a coastal region, it's a very common thing. Unless the police chase you off the beach. Whatever. So they go to the shore of the Milk Ocean, and there's all this clouds there. And that cloud is called Naham Prakashya Sarvasya. And Gita, 7th chapter 25, he said, I am covered by my yoga maya. So there are these clouds, or the yogamaya energy. So because he's having yoga nidra, Mahavishnu, or well, him also, but Shirdakshaya Vishnu in our universe, he's enjoying yoga nidra, which doesn't, in Jiva Goswami's Tika and Brahma Samhita, yoga nidra doesn't mean nidra as we think of sleep, but he and Lakshmi Devi, Rama Devi and Vishnu are enjoying intimate union for millions and millions of eons of time, and that's called yoga nidra. It's in Brahma Samhita. So naturally, they don't want a bunch of sages busting into their bedroom. It's not too much appreciated. Swaha, hey, come on, man. Later. So they stand on the beach, and it's all clouds, so they can't see because of the covering of the yoga maya. So they know Vishnu's there, then they sing all these. You've heard of the prayer Purusha Shukta? Maybe you've heard, or maybe you sang, I don't know. Purusha Shukta. This is the wake-up song. The wake-up call, ringtone on Vishnu's phone. He wakes up with that. So somehow Narada Muni, different rishis came there to see Narayan. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Narayan, Narayan, Narada Muni. And he was telling about Radharani and Brajadam. Because he has Narada Pancharatra, and he has Narada Purana, many books he has, and teachings Narada Muni has, and he's many things about the gopis. Once he went to visit Shiva, and Shiva told him a prayer that Shiva spoke in Urdhvamnaya Tantra. And then Narada heard it, and then when he went there, he also told that. Munindravindavandate chiloka shoka harane prasana vakcha pankaje nikunja buvilasini Vrajendravaranandane Vrajendra sunasangate kada karishyasiyamam kripa kataksha vajanam. So Narada Muni heard that, and when he came to Narayan, then he was speaking. The sages heard about Radharani and Krishna and Braja Gopis, these Shrutis, and they became very attracted. And they asked Narada Muni, how we become Gopi? Oh, you have to follow Raghunuga Bhakti? You have to do Ragmarg? Only by Ragmarg can you become a Gopi. So thousands and millions of years they practiced, they followed Ragmarg. And they were born as Gopis in Vrindavan. That's in the Dasama Skanda. So they're also rishis, but they're categorically different, because they're all in the same svabhav. I mean, all the shrutis, they all became gopis in Parakiya Bhava Madhurya Ras, but the Dandakaranya sages, they were less fortunate in one sense. Not, they're pretty fortunate. Darshan of Ramchandra, in the Leela of Ramchandra. So some of them, many of them, it's not said percentage wise, they were married and then. And had that relationship, Swakya, Bhav, with Lord Ramachandra, and many were not. So this kind of a tangential point somehow just came out. If you knew it, then you heard it again. If you didn't know it, you heard it the first time. So that's not exactly connected specifically to the question. But what I'm trying to say is the answer. Somehow that got interrupted my answer, because my answer was cognitive. And that was spontaneous. So I'll go back to the cognitive answer, which I'm thinking that's my answer. I'm the doer. But I was logically going to answer the question like this. Ishvara sarvabhutanam ridesh arjuna tishtati brahmyan sarvabhutani yantra rudaya mayaya. As we mentioned about our Shiradakshay Vishnu, he's in the heart of the jiva, and Krishna knows past, present, and future. Past means all about the past. Your paramarthic activities, spiritual activities, and artha, your material activities. So he's the ultimate processor. You know, there's, you know, the computers, there's different levels of processors, and there's like the final memory. You erase it from the surface memory, but it's in the second memory. And you kind of guys, you know, anybody thinks they have everything erased, and he comes in and says, oh yeah, look at all this hot stuff here, you didn't get off. You know, all the real stuff is, ooh, I didn't know, you get caught with your pants down, because, you know, the computer expert can go in there and find all this stuff. You buried all these skeletons in your backyard, you know, all your karmic, you know, excursions. And then he can bring them up and say, oh, look all these skeletons, computer skeletons in your closet. Once I gave my computer to some real smart guy to fix, and then and it was a computer a few years old. Then he gave it back to me. He said, you're a good Swami. I said, what do you mean a good Swami? I don't know what he's talking about. He said, I checked you out. I said, what do you mean you checked me out? There's not much to check out. He said, no, I fixed your computer, but I looked inside, you know these things too much. I looked here and there, and I see all your search history, this and that, and you're just searching for all, you know, boring stuff. Really boring stuff. This article, that post, this article, you know, philosophy and Krishna Bhakti and all these things. And so you're no fun, you know, you're not a good Swami. So I said, ooh, you know, I better cover my tracks. You know, the American Indians, when they go someplace, one guy is appointed at the end of the troop, at the end of the group of Indians under American Indians, and he has he cuts down a part of a tree, and he ties it on the tail of his horse. I mean, that's the way I envision it, because I don't think, why should he bother walking around? You know, he's got a horse. They ride on horses, many of them. So he just ties that old tree with all the leaves, thousands of leaves, and he goes, he's the last. He's like the cleanup crew after the feast in the temple. Oh, you have to clean the temple, Prabhu. Oh my God, it takes the rest of 11 o'clock. That cleanup crew is bad, bad. Don't, you know, you get on that sometime. I live in a temple. So they tie that big tree in the end of the tail of the horse, and then all the Indian people, the, you know, American Indians, the warriors, they run away. And then the tree goes behind, the horse is running, and it's like, you know, it's dragging on the ground, and all the hoof prints and everything is wiped out. So anybody tries to count which way they went. And there's a special kind of tree that has these kind of very aromatic leaves, so they can't smell the earth. And if they try to smell the earth and try to track down the smell of that tribe or whatever, those kind of horses, because each horse has maybe a different fragrance. Oh, they're riding this kind of horse, and it smells like that. They smell the ground. What this? It's like eucalyptus branches or something. So there's all it's nice. Smells like eucalyptus. It's called covering your tracks. You know, covering your tracks. Maybe you don't know these kind of crazy American Indian cowboy stories, but this is what they do. So people, they think they are all erased on their computer, and then it's, oh. I'm glad I passed the test, because the person I know, he lives in Radhakut, so he could expose me. The truth is in your hard drive. Well, I'm cool. Let's look in your hard drive, Jack. This Mr. Chuck Green, he knows, he's like a professor in hacking, you know. So now Krishna is going to direct you to the guru that will give you the sthayi rati that Krishna wants you to have. Because there's no free will here. When you're talking about bhakti and bhav and prem, this is not something, it's a choice. Free will implies the idea of my choice. This is with him. Vaidya Das had a recent article on his Facebook called, Is Love Free? Free love, you know, I don't know where he was coming from, what he inspired him to write that on his blog spot. It's the most recent thing. Anyway, the basic point is that Krishna, all these are gifts. There's no choice. You don't choose bhakti. Oh, I want to become a devotee. No way. I got this book and I read it and I decided I'm going to be a devotee. Oh, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? Oh, I did this and I did that and I did this. Zilch. Nothing. You did nothing. You're in Maya. Somehow Krishna just said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, bling! Oh, it's a real tall girl from Russia, or whatever, Lithuania or Estonia. Oh, she's cool. Okay, you. I have so many short ones. Let me get this tall one. You go. And then there's upadan karan and the naimittic karan. Naimittic karan means the media cause. Upadan means the Bhagavan, basically, the cause of the cause. So, how did I come to Krishna? Well, I was in college and I wasn't so satisfied with my studies, and I met a devotee, he gave a class on campus, and I bought a Bhagavad Gita. I read it, and it made sense to me. Then I decided I surrendered. No. Who gave you the book? Who sent the devotee to you? Everything, every step of the way is kripa. And the famous kirtan of the great saint from Barsana, a very famous personality. Somehow, wherever you go, the music guitar follows you. I'm speaking things about music, which I don't usually speak, but it's because of you. He's an international music star, you know. So it's like, you can look, if you want to have the proof, go SS and, you know, old SS's and see. And I didn't know where these talks are coming from. I think you're speaking through me. Just like Ramananda Sambhag. And Ramananda said, I'm not speaking. I'm just a parrot. Lord Chaitanya is speaking, making me speak. Rani, Rani. So, music. What was it? I'm a little distracted. Can you remind me where we left off about music?
There is no free will, so it's up to Krishna to...
Yeah, right. So, we can turn the fan on a little more, because maybe... Let's see, has the sun gone down yet?
No.
It's still... Let's open the back windows. You know how to do that, and then there's a latch there. Maybe you can sit near the fan over there. I'm sitting here because the fan is there. You can be cooler over there. Thank you. Yeah, that's nice. See, when you live in the Braj, then at night you open all your windows up, and if you live near a field like this, it goes. I slept on the veranda. It was 21 degrees. I froze it. I got a cold 2 days ago. Last night I used a sleeping bag. and then a day 35. Here now it's 28, and when it gets 40 outside, it'll be 32 inside. Still hot. So you kind of manage the heat, you know, because I don't have AC and all that. So the question, the devotee's asking a very nice question, just to recap for those that are... if you have any phones, just put them up here or whatever. Make it better for everybody, for y'all. The devotee's asking a nice, appropriate question, and I'm not completely sure of my answer. But I'm trying my best to answer this very deep and technical question. You may have heard answers from other places, but this is what the answer is coming to me by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So the devotee asks the question, can a disciple have a guru that's in a different stairati than he is, in a different mood of loving Krishna? Like say that, and the example the devotee gave is, say the disciple wants to be gopa. He has some attraction for being a sukha, which is nice, you know, very nice, fun, you know, be a Krishna's coward boy. So does the guru have to be also in sakirati or in the bhav? That's the question. So we were kind of a long-winded answer, but we're finally getting to the point. That... Bhakti, Bhav, Prem, Guru, Krishna as an Ishtadev, the whole thing is all being done by Krishna. And I gave an example of what we think and how we speak. I was in college and I was studying and I was pursuing this career because everyone has to work and eat money. And then somehow some devotees came to school and gave a class, and then I bought a couple of books, and I just became vegetarian before that, and I read the books, and then I got inspired, then I visited a temple. Pretty soon I joined. I decided to join. The whole calculation is completely wrong. Because any kind of contact or connection with bhakti in whatever form it is, bhakti as a bhakta, bhakta as a granta, the Granta, we say Granta Bhagavat and the Mahabhagavat. You must have heard these terms. Mahabhagavat means the highest devotee. Mahabhagavat. We say Uttam Bhagavat. Uttamadikar is a measurement of Vishwas, faith. Uttam Bhagavat is a measurement of how much the person has realized and seen Krishna. This is in 11th canto of Bhagavatam and other places. So people say, the guru should be Uttamadikari. So this is the general description by Rupa Goswami, Uttamadikari. Uttamadikari is not Uttam Bhakta. Uttamadikari and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains three levels of Adhikari, means eligible qualification, Kanishtha Madhyam Uttam. So the Uttamadikari, and Rupa Goswami explains, the Adhikari is a measurement of his knowledge of Krishna and his faith in Krishna. Nothing about the measurement of his bhakti. He may be a nishchita bhakta. He has nishta, which is not a joke. You know, that's a high level. Everyone has looked at Madhurya Kandambani and the symptoms of anishchita bhakti and nishchita bhakti, then they'll understand. It's a tall order, as we say. And here, there, whatever, it's okay, I'll just adjust. So because Rupa Goswami in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam explains about the Uttam Bhagavat. So it's confusing because some terms are similar. So let's review. Uttam Adhikari. So the Adhikari is how much knowledge does he have of Krishna and how much faith. So it's enjoined that one should take a guru that has, when Krishna is unlimited. So who can know? No one can know. He can't even know himself how much he is. You know this. Although he's Sarvagya, Krishna's Sarvagya means I, all knowledge, I know everything. Then he's Vimugda. Vimugda means I become completely bewildered. How? And Radharani just goes, just like us, right? Some lady blinks at you, you're gone. Me, you know, that's life. So if we're having trouble with these blinkings, Kataksha, Kripa Kataksha, Radharani, we want a Kataksha from Radharani, you know, a sidelong glance. So Radharani, just, she's behind a tree, and then she just glances at Krishna like, nonchalantly, I don't care. This Krishna, Veno krani patita skalitam shikandam. Veno krani patita skalitam shikandam. And Radharani Suniti, Veno karani patitam. Veno karan, kara means hand, karatal. Karatal, talabit, hand. So Veno karani patita skalitam shikandam. So Radharani, just when Krishna, when she glances at Krishna, then first thing that happens, Veno Nipati, no, Patita Pavan Avatar. Everyone's heard this term, Patita Pavan. Pavan means purifier, because Pavan is the name for wind. The wind god is called Vayur Pavan. So Krishna says in the Gita, of purifiers, I am Pavan. Pavano Asmi. I am the wind god. So, because it says a purifier, the wind is purifying. You hang your clothes out, the sun shines, the wind blows, and they become pure. So this patita means to fall down. Awam mahapatit. You must have heard these terms. I'm so fallen, which, you know, that's, of course, we all feel that way, and it's true, too, for many like me. So then, Krishna, he drops his flute from his hands, and his peacock feather crown, it spins off his head. Skalitam, shikandam. Shikamoli. Shikamoli means Krishna wears a crown of peacock feathers. So skalitam, shikandam means the peacock feather. Skalitam, I don't know, anyone from America, or you're all Russian people, because you're all big, tall, strong. I'm American, but I'm a small guy from there. But at any rate, so the skalitam, there's a word in English, skittle, or to skid. You're on your car and you skid. You know, the car slides out on the ice or something. It's called skidding. So it's funny because the Sanskrit skalitam is, because there's so many words like this, which gives you another example of how the mother Sanskrit, what do you call it? Sanskriti mata. The mother language is, so we say skittle, it's like a slang word. It just means you're going this way, that helter-skelter, running here and there, or to skid your car. So you slide. So his peacock feather, his crown just spins off his head. That's a sidelong glance. So we're thinking that, you know, it's my choice. I bought this book with my own rubles. You know, I gave my 50 rubles. I got these books. Krishna is doing everything, because this is proven in everywhere that Jivera Surupaya Krishna Nichidas. No, what does it say? Pramanda Brahmatekam Bhagavan Jiv Guru Krishna Prasadi Prasadi Pai. Prasadi Pai. Oh, I have some Jagannath Prasad. Would you like to take it? So, of course. So when he takes it, in English we say, I give, he receives. So receives means P-A-Y-A, pie. It's clear. Even in the BBT translation, it says he receives the seed of bhakti from Krishna. Brahmanda, Brahmatikon, Bhagavan, Jeev. Someone's very fortunate. Guru Krishna Prasadi. It's prasad. It's Krishna Prasad, because either you get Bhakta Prasad first or Krishna Prasad. Generally, what we observe that people usually get Krishna Prasad. But now, if you go a little deeper, in this life, I got Krishna Prasad because Krishna favored me and sent me to the temple. Krishna favored me and inspired me to be a vegetarian to prepare me for the next installment of his mercy. So the first mercy came as prerna. You know prerna? Prerna means inspiration, coming from heart. Oh, you know, this is not a good way of life, you know. I'd be vegetarian. I decide, Mom, I'm going to become a vegetarian. Oh, sure, big man, I'm a vegetarian. Okay, well, you know, go somewhere else. We don't cook veggie over here. Go find some rabbits. Go eat with some rabbits. We don't make that stuff here. Like my father, because I became in the high school at 18. We go to the dinner table. My mother and I would cook my meals together. My father would sit there. What is this rabbit food? Child, bless your soul. So everything, you know. So there's no problem because you have some sankoch, some hesitation or some. If my guru is like this, then I won't get success in the development of my stairati and my interest to worship Krishna, because the guru doesn't have knowledge of this line of thought or meditation, or nor does is he practicing the upasana. He doesn't identify with the upasya, which is the goal, Krishna Balaram Sakirati, or is he even practicing? So practice what you preach, or preach what you practice is more either way you go. We preach what we practice, and also practice what you preach. But more importantly, in this line of devotions, we preach what we practice. If you're not practicing, that's called hypocrite. I don't know what the word is in Russian, but you're a fake. You're talking, but you're not walking. You must have, you know, these. I mean, these are kind of like not very cultured statements. You know, walk your talk, samaste. You know, like you're such bolo. Such bully, you're speaking truth,
yeah.
But your achar is kapat, or something like that. your behavior is all cheating, you know. So don't worry. Now let's go back another way. So why do you want to be a coward boy? Because Krishna gave that to you when? Maybe last life. And at a certain time in this life, that sanskara fructified. And you know it's real. It's your individual sanskara or previous tendency that was stored in your chitta. And you want this thing. That's called lobha. I want to serve Krishna like this. No. All the gopis are gopis. You know, just put on a wig and grow your hair and be a gopi. No, but I don't. This doesn't, my heart. Because it's a matter of rag. Rag means your internal attraction. It doesn't mean spontaneous. You know, you have some petrol and you throw a match. Well, what's going to happen? It's going to go boom. Spontaneous combustion. So there's nothing spontaneous at all. So there's cause for everything. And on this plane, this is the causal plane. So there's cause. So here everything is happening by prakriti, by this prakriti or daivi prakriti. Daivi prakriti is a transcendental mercy of Krishna. Generally, let's discuss some more facts about the stairati. As you're saying, so I want to be a coward boy, which means I want to have a permanent relationship with Krishna for eternal time as Krishna's coward boy. I want to play and frolic with him. And I'll defeat him. I'm equal to him. Because it says in Adi 4 Madhya, 8, it explains the mentality of the Raghavakta. So if you want to know if you're a Raghunuga Bhakta or inclined that way, it says, Mora Putra, Mora Saka, Mora Pranapati. I just got the Chalare. As I mentioned, this is an Adi 4 for your educational purpose. If you want to know the essential teachings of Krishna Bhakti, what it really is, and what Lord Chaitanya really wanted to give, you don't have to read lots. You should read lots also. Get as much knowledge as your brain can, you know, understand, or we can understand. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 4, and Chapter 8 of Madhyan Lila. Chapter 8 is called Ramananda Samvad. Samvad, talks together. And read that with some, and study those chapters with someone that has some knowledge of this subject. And any questions that come up and you ask them, then you'll get the full understanding of what is Krishna Bhakti. So we were saying that in Ragmarg, or the eternal associates of Krishna, I was saying Mora Putra, Mora Saka, Mora Pranapati. So the difference between the Raghunuga Bhakta and the Vaidhi Sadhaka, it's not, you can't see the difference. It's not visible. Oh, he's Raghunuga. Oh, no, he's... Doesn't have anything to do with beards or no beard, or no beards or no beard, or a white dhoti or a red dhoti or whatever, or this or that. Has to do with the attitude, the mentality, and the prompting. Prompting means what initiates you or what propels you, what starts you on the path of devotion. That's the difference. Otherwise, everything the same. Oh, you're Raghunuga Bhakta, right? You get up at 10 o'clock in the morning, yeah? I took rest at 3:30, and I was in Maya, so I got up at 6 o'clock when the sun shined on my face, and I'm still half dead. So, no, yeah, because some people have come to me and say, oh, you're practicing Raghmarg, and I said, not really, but I have some idea what it is. I said, so what do you, you know, what's it like? What's the secret mysteries? I said, you get up at 4 a.m. at latest, and you follow the four Eagle principles, and you chant minimum 16 rounds and preferably 1 lakh, and you read the Bhagavatam every day, and you worship your deities, or you go to Mangalarti every day, and then you maybe do some practical service or wash your clothes and clean the ashram. You may preach on the internet, or you may travel around the world and give Bhagavad Saptas. Oh, you mean Raghunuga Bhaktas preach and they give classes? I thought they just sat in a cave all day. Hare Krishna, Radhe, 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 Hare Krishna. Some do. There's some lucky, fortunate ones that have that purity and that ruchi. They're just totally gone from the world, and Krishna is inspiring them and giving them strength to do that. They do it. Like one of my gurus in my line, Siddha Manohar Das Baba. He was born a Brahmin, and then he just... he came here to be a Babaji, be a sannyasi and do bhajan, no family life. And the guru looked at him and said, oh, you're not fit, go get married. So he went home, got married. That's no fun. And then he did that for some time, and then maybe the wife died or something happened. He came back, so my wife died, I'm free now. I don't want to do bhajan. Acha? No, go back and marry again. You're a Brahmin, you can take another. You don't have any issue, you can... Jigurudev, married twice. Something happened, whatever. So he came and said, Gurudev, please. Now he's an Indian-born Brahmin, and see what the road, how his road to Krishna is. It's inconceivable. Who are that kind of birth? At least me, and these are some Indian people, high birth. He is a Brahmin, and Kshatriya Brahmin, they're high birth, but you know, us guys, you're Indian, we're not so up there. You know, so... So this is the verse. It's in that fourth chapter. Mora Putra, Mora Saka, Mora Pranapati, E Bhave Je More Kare Shura Bhakti, Apanake Bhadamone, Amare Samahina, Sehi bhave, it's almost like Hindi. Almost exactly. Sehi bhave hai ami tahara adina. I can't verify the translation. I'll just read what it says. In other words, if one is practicing Shud Bhakti, and we're all in our own way trying to practice Shud Bhakti, we may not be Shuddha Bhaktas, but we're practicing Shud Bhakti, okay? Under the shelter of Guru, Diksha, Hope, Dikshas, we have Diksha, and we're practicing Shud Bhakti. And by practicing Shud Bhakti, we'll become Shud. Shud Bhakti means Dharmart Kam Moksh Nechayi. Every one of us, we have our issues, and we have our desires, and we have our needs and wants. But if you ask, what do you want? I want to love Krishna. I want to live eternally with Krishna, Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. That's a big, strong thing with me. But if so many jnanis do bhakti, so many materialists do bhakti, it's called karma mishra bhakti, gyan mishra bhakti. So you say, what do you want? Oh, I want this, that, the other thing. I'm doing bhakti. So that's not Shuddha Bhakti, okay? So those that are practicing Shuddha Bhakti, they have any one of these three bhavas. They Moraputra. Krishna's Moraputra. Krishna's my son. Morasaka. Krishna's my friend. He's my friend. Sometimes I beat him up. Sometimes he beats me up. If he wins, I carry him. If I win, he carries me. Krishna, he's not a big man. And then Mora Pranapati. This is so one at Madhurya Ras. Gopis and Krishna, Mora Pranapati. You're not my putti. Putti just means you have some ritual and do some, and then you get married, and you're officially a putti and putni, husband and wife. They're saying you are the lord of our prana. Body comes and goes, but prana goes on. The pancha pran carry Linga shudra. Subtle body is linga shudra. The pancha pran carries the linga sharir out of this body to wherever it's supposed to go. So the pran is, and Krishna says, pranava omkara. He says that pranava, I am that om, and the five forms of prana. So to just say he's my pati, he's my pati. That's only for 50 years, then he dies. You're basing your upadi or sambandha, your identity or relationship on the basis of the bones. But the gopis are not, they're saying pranapati. Means you're our Lord life after life after life. You can crush him by your embrace or make crush him by your intense loving embrace or break my heart by never appearing before me. You're still my Mora Pranapati. This is a gopi bhav, Radharani's bhav. Ashul Shiva Paravatam Panashtam Madarshtam Mamatam Kurvatava Yata Tata Bhavadantam Lampato Mat Prananatas. Pranapati Prananat is the same. This is the highest level of intimacy. You control my pran. Skin and bones and mind, there's nothing. Prana is the essence. Because pran controls everything. Pranayama, through pranayama you control mind, and you control mind and your destiny, everything is done by prana. So this is the attitude. But now that's the attitude. Krishna's my friend. I'm a sucker. Sometimes I he's up in the tree, I just throw him in the Yamuna. And then Balaram says, hey, why are you roughing up my brother? Ah, shut up, I'll throw you next, Who do you think you are? Balaram, You're Balaram, but I'm Subal. You're only one Bal. You're only one Bal. I'm Subal. Bala means strong, but I'm very strong. Acha? Let's see about that, So then it goes like this. So this is the attitude and the mentality in the Ragmarg is because I'm attached to Krishna in a loving, intimate mood. What does the Raghunuga Bhakti think? He thinks, I am equal to Krishna or I'm better than Krishna. Okay? So this is an attitude, a mentality. And he's doing puja, everything. You see two are side by side. One is Vaidhi, one is... And the Raghunuga Bhakti is... If you say that to the Raghunuga Bhakti, God is nothing. God depends on me. He has to carry me on his shoulder. Oh, you're Aparadi. Because the Vaidhi Sadhaka thinks, God is Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasasashriya. He has six opulences. He's a supreme controller. He's a supreme enjoyer. He's a bhaktaram, yagat tapasam. This is Vaidhi sadhana. And then God is great. God, it's all true. It's all very true for the Vaidhi sadhaka. God is great. And he's, I'm just little tiny consciousness. I'm anuchit and he's vibuchit. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovaradati kaman. I'm just little consciousness. I'm eternal. He's eternal. Eko bahunam yovaradati kaman. He's that eka that's fulfilling all my desires. And then what do we say? Then we say, ekala ishvara krishna. Ekala ishvara krishna. Arasabhya britya. Means Krishna, there's one supreme controller. Ek ishvara. Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And sabhya britya. Britya means servant. This is the attitude of Vaidhi sadhana. You know what I think about God? I think God, sometimes I beat up God. And he has to carry me on his shoulders. You're upright. I'm telling Gurudev that you're speaking like this. You can't speak like this. He's the supreme personality of God. You're going to get a severe reaction. So Vaidhi means rule and regulation. Rag means love. Puppy love or big dog love or puppy love, dog love, whatever you want to say. So these verses, you get together with like-minded people or some advanced devotees. Just spend time going through each one of these verses. Say, what does this word mean? What does this mean? Explain with some advanced devotees. And chapter 4 and chapter 8, first study deeply on your own. There's no real commentaries anywhere. There's some very short commentaries here and there, but nothing really sufficient on any side. Just some contemporary commentaries, which don't bring out really the deep. They bring out some meanings, but not all of what's there. It is the essence of the entire Krishna consciousness, of a whole gamut of what it is in chapter 4 of Adi Lila and chapter 8. I study these chapters at Pandit Baba, and I have some idea, not much, but some idea of them. So I'm sharing that.